Treat Dad this Father's Day with great gifts from Menards. From levels, nailers, and drills to complete any project, to tool chests, recliners, and grills, we've got the perfect gifts to make this Father's Day one to remember. Stop by your local Menards today and save big money on gifts for Dad. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm so glad you're here. This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. Buying a new home is supposed to be the start of a new chapter. But for Derek and Maria Broaddus, it became the beginning of a nightmare. In the summer of 2014, the couple purchased their dream home at 657 Boulevard, a beautiful century-old house nestled in the quiet town of Westfield, New Jersey. They had been saving up for this house, and it seemed like the ideal place to raise their three young children. But before the family had even finished moving in, a letter arrived in their mailbox. There was no return address, only a chilling letter from someone calling himself The Watcher. The writer claimed that he had been watching 657 Boulevard for years. He said his family had been watching it for generations. He described himself as the latest caretaker, and his job was to watch the home and wait for what he called its second coming. And The Watcher's letters kept coming. The Watcher seemed to know intimate details about the property. He spoke of the family's children, referring to them as young blood. He asked if they found what was hidden in the walls, and he made it clear that he was watching, always watching. Over the following months, more letters would arrive. Police investigated. Private investigators were hired. Neighbors turned on each other. Everyone was a suspect. Lawsuits would be filed, and yet, despite national headlines and years of scrutiny, the identity of the Watcher remains a mystery. This is a true story, and the letters from this case are deeply disturbing. Don't worry, I'll be reading them to you. As I mentioned, the Watcher was never caught, so he or she is likely still walking among us. That's creepy. This case has fascinated me for years. I remember first reading about it years and years ago and thinking, it doesn't get much creepier than this. And it's also anyone's worst nightmare, saving up for this beautiful house and finding out you have a stalker. I'm gonna tell you what happened, and then we're gonna go over suspects. Many have speculated on who the Watcher is. I wanna see what you think at the end of the episode. If you love mysteries, Avery After Dark is the place for you. Every week, I dive into eerie hauntings, creepy cases, and the strangest mysteries you will ever hear. So stay a while. I upload 2 to 3 new videos every week. And if you want bonus episodes of Avery After Dark, join the Avery After Dark Patreon or memberships here on YouTube. I just dropped a new episode, and it is really spooky. I think you're going to enjoy it. Links to join are in the show notes. Now, let's get into today's mystery. This is the Watcher of Westfield. This story is centered around one house, 657 Boulevard, in the suburban town of Westfield, New Jersey. Westfield is about an hour drive from Manhattan, or a nice train ride away. Westfield is a highly desirable, affluent area, especially for New Yorkers who are ready to settle down, buy a house, but want to stay close to the city. It's a very nice area, lots of families. And at this time, Westfield was ranked as the 30th safest town in America via Neighborhood Scout. But for the true crime aficionados, you may hear Westfield and think, Hold on. That sounds familiar. A certain name may pop into your head. John List, a Westfield resident who murdered his wife, children, and mother in their family home. They lived in a really nice house in Westfield and seemed to be the perfect family prior to the murders. He was wanted for nearly 20 years until he was eventually caught living in a different state under a different name. We'll have to do an episode on that case because it is shocking and horrifying. But this really seemed to burst that sense of security and put the community on edge for a while. Residents in town were afraid that John List was hiding somewhere in Westfield, like in someone's house. So Westfield isn't completely new to sinister happenings. If you drive down the street, you can see 657 Boulevard doesn't look like the stereotypical creepy mansion. That's part of what makes this case so strange. It's a large, older Dutch colonial, three-story house, six bedrooms, four bathrooms, sits on half an acre, almost 4,000 square feet. It has an attic and a basement. The house is set back on the property and was built in 1905. It has pale siding, dark shutters, big front lawn, that classic dream house look. And the street itself is part of the atmosphere. The neighborhood is lined with trees. If you look outside, you see typical suburbia. People out walking their dogs on the sidewalks, kids riding their bikes, joggers passing by. The houses are spaced apart, but still close enough that neighbors can see each other's windows and yards. So a very peaceful community, but also exposed. Many say that walking around Westfield, looking at the neighborhoods, it feels a bit perfect. It's neatly trimmed hedges, manicured lawns, so the contrast between that and what happened is psychologically disturbing. As we can see from the pictures, this is a very large house. I would consider it to be kind of a mansion. It would really be the kind of place you would dream of owning one day. And for Derek and Maria Broaddus, it was their dream and it came true. Derek and Maria met in college, went on to marry and have three children. When 657 hit the market, they jumped at the opportunity and they closed on the house. On June 2nd, 2014, the Broadduses bought 657 Boulevard for nearly $1.4 million. Their previous home was a three-bedroom house, also located in Westfield. 657 was also just a few blocks away from Maria's childhood home. They were not new to this area. They were very familiar with it. And this was a big upgrade for the family. They were moving into a much bigger house, so this was very exciting for the family. Per reports, Derek worked as a senior vice president at an insurance company in Manhattan. Maria was a teacher, but at this point, she was a stay-at-home mom. And their plan was to do some renovations on the house before they moved in. And in the meantime, the family was still living in their other house in Westfield just a few minutes away. Just a few days after closing on June 5th, Derek spent the day at the house painting. He had been there for hours, and it was getting late, almost 10 p.m., but before he left for the night, he went to check the mail. He saw he had a few bills and something that stuck out. A white card-shaped envelope with thick, somewhat sloppy handwriting. It was addressed to the new owner. Derek opens it up and found a typed letter. It read, "Dearest new neighbor at 657 Boulevard, allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood. How did you end up here? Did 657 Boulevard call to you with its force within? 657 Boulevard has been the subject of my family for decades now. And as it approaches its 110th birthday, I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming. My grandfather watched it in the 1920s and my father watched it in the 1960s. It is now my time. Who am I? There are hundreds and hundreds of cars that drive by 657 Boulevard each day. Maybe I am in one. Look out of the many windows in 657 Boulevard at all the people who stroll by each day. Maybe I am one." The watcher specifically mentions details about the Broaddus family, also talking about the workers who had been at the house doing renovations, and the couple's children. The letter continued, "You have children. I have seen them. So far, I think there are three that I have counted. Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested? Better for me. Was your old house too small for the growing family? Or was it greed? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them to me. The letter had a signature typed in a cursive font. Inside the letter, the Watcher. Looking at this letter, there is no return address, and the letter was mailed through USPS. The greeting seemed to indicate that the author of this letter was a neighbor, since they're welcoming the Broaddus's to the neighborhood. But let's go back to what's going on, because Derek is reading this as he's at the house alone at night.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
After reading this, he was understandably creeped out and ran around the house, turning off all the lights and called the police. I think maybe when you have all the lights on, it's kind of like a fishbowl effect. You feel like this person's watching you and they can see you inside. So turning off all the lights, the Watcher can't see in anymore. Also, I want to note that the full Watcher letters have never been made public. So much of what's been released are sort of pieces from these letters. But for this episode, I tried to put them together so we can get an idea of what was going on here. Police get to 657 Boulevard, and Derek shows the responding officer the letter. The officer's like, "What is this?" and advises Derek to move some of the construction equipment off the porch so that this Watcher couldn't use it to break in or something. But that was sort of it. There was really nothing else to go on. You just have to imagine how that would feel. Like, you buy this new house and it's very expensive and you're putting all this work into it and you have young children. You find out that your house comes with a stalker. Oh, I would be totally bummed out. Bummed out and creeped out. The officer leaves and so does Derek. He heads back home. That night, Derek and Maria immediately email John and Andrea Woods, the couple who had just sold them the house. The Broaddus's asked them if they knew anything about this. Did they know who the Watcher might be? What was going on? The next day, the Woods respond and tell the Broaddus's that they had lived at 657 Boulevard for nearly 23 years and never received a letter from the Watcher until just a few days before they moved out. In the midst of packing up all their things, the Woods go out to check their mailbox and find they have a letter. This letter mentioned the Watcher's family, watching the house for years, and also thanking the Woods for caring for the house. The Woods said they found the letter strange, but they didn't think much of it and just threw it away. They're moving, you know? I mean, they're like, bye. But they also said they had lived at that house for decades and always felt safe there. They never felt watched. They said they were so comfortable in this house that they rarely ever locked their doors. June 6th, the Woods and Maria Broaddus go to Westfield Police. They sit and meet with Detective Leonard Lugo. The families tell the detective about the letters. And in turn, he urges them to keep this private for now. Don't tell anyone, especially their neighbors, as they were all deemed suspects. As we talked about, the letter had been mailed via USPS, and they later discover that it had been processed at the U.S. Postal Service's distribution center in Kearney, New Jersey. This means it had been mailed from somewhere nearby, not far from the neighborhood. And when looking at this letter, the Watcher seems to feel some sort of spiritual connection to the home, suggesting they have intimate knowledge of the house and its layout. The letter seemed to be clearly written, but investigators did see that there were typographical errors that could suggest the writer had erratic tendencies. From here, investigators are going to start looking into it. A few days go by, no new letter. In this meantime, the family continues to go to the house together. with their children. They're still doing renovations, but they're not living there. They're still living at their other house in Westfield. Each day passes, the family's waiting, but there's nothing. Then 2 weeks later, June 18th, the Broaddus's check their mail, and they see they've gotten another letter from the Watcher. The second letter was even more disturbing than the first. It contained more details about the family, including their children's nicknames and birth order. When referring to the family, the Watcher does call them by their last name, but misspells it. One of the most terrifying aspects is the Watcher asks about one of the couple's children specifically, claiming they had seen her using an easel in an enclosed porch space, asking, is she the artist in the family? So it's clear this individual is not only watching, but listening. They know the kids' nicknames and birth order. So this person is listening to private conversations. And also, that sunroom is not visible from the street where the daughter was painting on her easel. So to see the daughter using it, it can only be seen from the backyard or next door. The letter read, 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Who am I? I am the Watcher and have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. I pass by many times a day. 657 Boulevard is my job, my life, my obsession. And now you are too, Broaddus family. And I say Broaddus because that is how the Watcher spells the Broaddus' name. The letter continues. The Woods turned it over to you. It was their time to move on and kindly sold it when I asked them to. The house is crying from all the pain it is going through. You have changed it and made it so fancy. You were stealing its history. It cries for the past and what used to be. In the time when I roamed its halls, the 1960s were a good time for 657 Boulevard. When I ran from room to room, imagining the life of the rich occupants there, the house was full of life and young blood. The Watcher's claiming that they have been inside the house. The letter continued on, saying, have you found all the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement? Or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream. Will they sleep in the attic? Or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedrooms facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which bedroom. So then I can plan better. The letter continues. Greed is what brought the past 3 families to 657 Boulevard, and now it has brought you to me. Have a happy moving in day. You know I will be watching. After this second letter, Derek and Maria completely stopped bringing their children to the house. I would too. And they officially hit pause on moving in. And the family is wondering, what is this Watcher going to do next? And also, as you hear, there's this emphasis on not changing the house, not doing renovations. From reports, it was said that the Broadduses put in around $100,000 into renovations. July 18th, 1 month later, a third letter from the Watcher arrived. It read, where have you gone to? 657 Boulevard is missing you. Many ask, why didn't the family put up security cameras? Well, the letters are coming through the post office, so a mailman is delivering them. There really isn't much to see. And as the Watcher mentions, this house is being passed by hundreds of people every day, people in cars, people walking by. They didn't know who the Watcher was. Was it that person walking their dog down the street? Or that neighbor in the window looking out of their house? But there was one strange incident where a general contractor arrived to the house one morning to find a heavy sign he had physically pounded into the yard. had been ripped out sometime during the night. It was believed that this very well could have been the Watcher, as the sign was for general contracting business, which meant renovations and changes to the home, something that very clearly was irritating the Watcher. Now, I'm not sure if this was before or after the surveillance cameras were put in, but this was really the only instance of vandalism to the home. So what about the police investigation into who the Watcher is? Well, that really isn't going anywhere. There were no fingerprints, nothing in the letters that could definitively point to someone in particular. Their daily lives were filled with anxiety, paranoid about who was watching them at all times.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
As the letters continued to arrive, the Broaddus family became increasingly desperate for answers. They decided to hire a private investigator, as they were frustrated by the lack of progress in the investigation. The PI began digging into the neighborhood, interviewing residents and examining anyone who might have an unusual interest in the house. But despite months of inquiries, interviews, and theories, every lead seemed to end in the same way, with more questions than answers, although there were some suspects, and we will get to all of those suspects in just a bit. But for the Broaddus family, this realization was disturbing, even with local police, private investigators, and forensic experts all looking into the case. Nobody could determine who was sending these letters. The person calling themselves the Watcher, seemingly one step ahead of everyone trying to identify them. They have no idea who it is. It could be a woman, it could be a man, they could be younger, older. After 6 months, the Broadduses decided to sell the house, but many were hesitant to move in, given the rumors about the Watcher. So the Broadduses sued the Woodses for failing to disclose the threatening letter they'd received. This lawsuit really shoved this small town mystery into high gear. There were articles written about the story, and it became a media circus. The Broadduses continue trying to sell this house, but they can't find a buyer for it. So they began conversations with a local developer who would tear down the house and split the property and build 2 new homes. Many of the neighbors on the street were totally against this. The Broadduses took this plan to the neighborhood planning board and were flat out rejected. Why? The homes would each be less than 3 feet too small for the mandated size of the neighborhood. The Broadduses were very upset, saying, "You know what we have been through. This has been a nightmare for us." And they were pretty upset that the community basically said, no, the house and keeping up the look and history of the neighborhood was more important than the family. I'm not sure why they wanted to tear it down. I think that there was so much associated with the house that they were trying to like, well, let's just get a fresh start. Finally, in 2016, the Broaddus family didn't find a buyer, but did find a couple who agreed to rent the home. This family had children who were grown and had 2 dogs. They felt they would be fine, but also had a clause that let them out of the renter's agreement if another letter from the Watcher arrived. And 2 weeks later, what happened? Another letter. It read, "To the vile and spiteful Derek and his wench of a wife, Maria. 657 Boulevard survived your attempted assault and stood strong with its armies of supporters, barricading its gates. My soldiers of the Boulevard followed my orders to a T. They carried out their mission to save the soul of 657 Boulevard with my orders. All hail the Watcher." Then it gets even darker. The letter continues. "Maybe a car accident, maybe a fire. Maybe something as simple as a mild illness that never seems to go away but makes you feel sick day after day after day after day after day. Maybe the mysterious death of a pet. Loved ones suddenly die. Planes and cars and bicycles crash. Bones break. You are despised by the house, and the watcher won. So the renters know about this note, and they're actually still okay with staying in the house, but ask for more surveillance cameras to be installed for security measures. Now it's time that we get to suspects, because there are a few. This case is unsolved, but as we covered, every neighbor became a suspect. And one interesting instance was a particular couple who lived on the block. Derek had reportedly brought them inside the house for a tour of the renovations at some point. The couple learns the Broaddus's have young kids, and at some point during this tour, the wife commented, "It'll be nice to have some young blood in the neighborhood." Derek remembers the letter and the watcher referring to young blood. There isn't too much on this couple, but this was definitely a very striking and suspicious instance, as this woman is a neighbor and is using the same exact wording as the watcher. Now, that's up for you to decide. Is that a coincidence or something darker? The next suspect is a man. Again, his name has never been released, but during the investigation, around 11 p.m. one night, two Westfield police detectives were surveilling 657 Boulevard when they noticed a suspicious vehicle pulled up and parked right in front of the house. Police find the car belongs to a young woman from a nearby town. They get some information and they learn that her boyfriend and his family lived on the same block as 657 Boulevard. This woman is questioned by police and she told them that her boyfriend was into some really dark video games, including one where he played a character named The Watcher. The investigators say they remember her referring to The Watcher as the game that her boyfriend played. Now, some have argued maybe this investigator misheard her, maybe it was actually The Witcher, but this clearly stuck out to police. They're like, we want to talk to this guy. This man was then asked to be questioned by detectives, but he never showed up for the interview. Police didn't have enough evidence to force him, so this went nowhere and he was never questioned. Next up is another neighbor, a man named Michael Langford. Shortly after receiving the first letter, the Broadduses attended a barbecue on the street where lots of neighbors attended. And there, neighbors began talking about Michael Langford, saying that he lived next door to the Broadduses. His 90-year-old mother owned the house, and a few of her adult kids, now in their 60s, lived in the house with her. The family was described as strange but harmless. The Langfords had lived in the house since the 60s, which is when the watcher claimed that his father watched the house. Michael's father died 12 years before that first letter arrived, which could tie back to the letters, as the watcher claimed to have been watching the house for the better part of two decades. Also, something else. Neighbors alleged that Michael would walk through yards and peek in neighbors' windows. And given where the Langfords lived, many believe they would have had the perfect view of that enclosed sunroom where the Broaddus' daughter was painting on her easel, which the watcher wrote about in his second letter. Police spoke with Michael Langford after that first letter was received, and he denied knowing anything. And there really wasn't any evidence to connect him to the letters. Additionally, many believe that if Langford knew that police were suspicious of him, he would not have continued sending letters after this, but as we know, more watcher letters continued to arrive. But it didn't end there with the Langfords. The Broadduses, who worked with detectives, sent a letter to the Langfords telling them that they had plans to demolish 657 Boulevard, hoping that this would make the watcher right again. But nothing came of this. And get this, we have a little bit of DNA analysis from the letters. Reports said that there was DNA that belonged to a woman found on one of the letters. From here, the investigation led to Abby Langford, Michael's sister, but they compared DNA from a water bottle used by Abby to the DNA from the letter, and there was no match. So this was yet another dead end. After this, investigators said that any and all of the Langfords had officially been ruled out as suspects. Many have wondered, well, could it have been a previous owner of 657 Boulevard? Maybe someone who lived there at one point in history. It was built in 1905 and had changed hands many times over the years. But the Woods had lived there for 23 years, and there was never any evidence that they were involved. They bought the house in 1990 and never received any watcher letters or any harassment. And all of the previous residents before the Woods would be very old, if not dead. As time passed with no arrests and no clear suspect, suspicion began to spread through the community. Some residents wondered whether the Broaddus family themselves could somehow be connected to the letters. But despite those rumors, investigators never uncovered evidence supporting that theory. You may ask, well, why would anyone think that? Well, after the Planning Commission rejected the Broaddus' plan to split the lot, several neighbors who had protested the Broaddus' plans claimed they received anonymous threatening letters only signed as Friends of the Broaddus Family. And those letters turned out to be written by Derek Broaddus. He claimed those letters were the only anonymous letters he has ever sent and were the result of years of frustration. The Broaddus family was tormented by this entire ordeal. Paranoia, anxiety, depression. So to go through all this and not feel like your neighbors have your back, that would be pretty tough. I always found that theory to be ludicrous because it really seemed like the family was at their wits' end with these watcher letters. Well, many say, well, they could have gotten in over their head with how expensive the house was. Well, if that was the case, why wouldn't they just put the house back up on the market? That happens. It very likely would have sold quickly. If the family did regret the purchase, there were easier ways to deal with that situation. Instead, they spent years fighting lawsuits, hiring private investigators, working with detectives, and fielding national media attention. Others theorize that the publicity surrounding the case might eventually lead to a book or movie deal. But these were just rumors and suspicions circulating among the public. And investigators never uncovered any evidence linking the Broadduses to the letters or proving any of those theories. There have been many who have theorized the watcher could have been someone who wanted 657 and didn't get it, maybe due to its high price or for whatever reason. Someone who was angry that this family got to live in the home when they wanted it. Revenge. You see that sometimes in relationships, that, well, if I can't have them, no one will. Except this time it was with a house. That could be possible. If this person couldn't have the house, then no one is going to be able to live there peacefully. Now, this is Avery After Dark, and there is one other theory that I want to talk about. And that is that this house is haunted. And that this strange activity is somehow supernatural, like ghost letters. That's how the writer never got caught and how they knew intimate details of the house. Conversations and things that were going on inside. The house was built in 1905, so it is a bit older, and this is just another theory that's been discussed. So, you never know. Today, 657 Boulevard is still standing in Westfield, New Jersey. The Broaddus family ultimately sold the home in 2019 at a significant financial loss after years of failed attempts to move on from the ordeal. They ended up selling 657 for around $950,000. So around a $400,000 loss. The buyers were initially anonymous, though later reports identified them as a young family who chose to move into the house despite its infamous reputation. But what about the Broadduses suing the previous tenants, John and Andrea Woods, over claims of fraudulent concealment, intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress, and several other issues related to the sale of the property? Well, the case was dismissed. A judge threw it out. And what happened next? Nothing. According to public reports, the new owners have never reported receiving any letters from the watcher. There have been no known incidents resembling the harassment that plagued the Broaddus family. The letters appear to have stopped entirely, and the identity of the watcher remains unknown. The case is still officially unsolved. Despite countless theories, no suspect has ever been charged. Whether the watcher was a neighbor, someone with a personal grudge toward the family, or someone else entirely remains one of the most unsettling mysteries in modern true crime. In 2022, The Watcher debuted on Netflix and was inspired by the real events. But I am so interested to hear your thoughts. What do you make of this entire case? Personally, I don't believe it was supernatural. You know, my theory, I'm kind of torn. It depends on the day. One day you can ask me and I'll lean one way. The other day I lean the other way. One part of me believes that the watcher had to be someone connected to the neighborhood to 657 Boulevard. Perhaps a neighbor, someone involved in the community with an obsession with this house. But what leaves me torn is that the letter stopped after the Broaddus's moved out, so it seems like the activity was really just tied to this family, which makes me believe that it's tied less to the house itself and more to the Broaddus family specifically. But I'm pretty stumped on this one. Who do you think the watcher is? What are your thoughts and theories? Let me know in the comments here on YouTube, or if you're listening to the show right now on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can leave a rating and a review and let me know what you think and what you made of this case. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Avery After Dark. Next time, I've got so much more mystery coming your way.